Whether this is her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct is everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of the Weekly Zeitgeist. These are some of our favorite segments from this week, all edited together into one nonstop infotainment laugh extravaganza. So without further ado, here is the Weekly Zeitgeist. We are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the brilliant and talented Jabari Ali Davis!
Welcome, welcome.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you. Now that my gums are itching from that clip.
Thank you for tingling, if you will.
Yeah.
Jabari, good to have you on.
Yeah, it's great to have you, man.
It's always another person who I interact with on Twitter. I'm like, why didn't Jabari come on? I want to talk. Why are we talking, man?
I'm going to be completely honest with you. I am truly a member of your Zeit gang, so this is an honor. This is legit.
Oh, man.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, then I posit this question to you, Jabari. What of Jack's take on Demolition Man? Is Stallone... I'm just curious. Yeah. What were you trying to say? You're saying people looked at Demolition Man as a Stallone film, so
this
they were dismissive of it?
This might just be a me problem. I'm a big Stallone head. Rocky, right. Rambo, like just all of it. From the 80s, I feel like that movie it got so much right about the future. It got a lot right about where we were headed. I'm getting choked up just talking about it. I just think it would be viewed, like it would be studied more in film classes if it didn't have your Sylvester Stallone as the lead.
Okay, but who could we have swapped out to get people to take Demolition Man, at least in retrospect, seriously? If it's not him, who was around that time?
Bruce Willis?
Like Bruce Willis? Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Although I don't even know. Like, yeah, Bruce Willis would be the just like easy swap in and probably gets less, immediately taken away from it. Just in terms of like national reception, or global reception, I guess. But, you know, like a Harrison Ford and like a Blade Runner-esque turn could have made sense.
So if we're looking at highest grossing actors from the 90s, right? Sylvester Stallone is number 8 on but like in the 1 through 7 is Tom Hanks, Mel Gibson, Tom Cruise, Arnold, Harrison Ford, and Michelle Pfeiffer and Kevin Costner.
Gibson makes sense.
That's a whole different vibe.
But then people have been like, no, we can't talk about this trash ass movie.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. His takes are problematic 90s takes, right?
Right.
Like he's like, come on, man. I ride for Mel Gibson is the point of that.
Is Demolition Man a Batman movie? That's the question.
Ooh, okay.
It kind of is.
Whoa.
So it's like,
whoa.
It's a trendy thing that people have been saying for years.
It's but something
you
have your movie?
Joke. You have your Joker Batman, you know, kind of dynamics, and
wow,
there are a lot of parallels there.
I love it. Yeah,
except Simon Phoenix is a style icon.
Absolutely. And if there's one thing we need, it's more Batman movies, I would say. So I think we should just retro. Someone needs to remake it as a Batman movie, in my opinion.
I remember wanting like a blonde flat top like Simon Phoenix, but my mixed hair could not get the curls tight enough to get that height. I could just get like Verizhou curls, you know what I mean? And I was like, damn, like I can't rock that Simon Phoenix shit.
Oh. I'm going to keep it real with you. I had the flat top. I didn't have the guts. I didn't have the balls to go, you know, to go full.
To go Meteor Man with it, yeah.
Couldn't do it.
Chelsea, first we like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
What do I have here for you? It's all of it is so weird for what I do for the podcast. But today I got for you Disney villains, gay drag queens.
Okay.
So, all right.
So, I mean, first, explain.
Yeah, hit it.
American Hysteria,
okay.
Your show.
Sure.
Talking about, you know, we were saying before off mic, Jack loves little satanic panic, moral panic, you know, mass hysteria. Is it psychology? Is it science? And that's what you focus on. That's kind of your bag right now.
And what's so cool is that Cracked was one of my original inspos for learning about the satanic panic. I mean, you guys had like kind of like good listicles about different, you know, moral panics and stuff. And I got ideas from you, man. So it's really cool.
Should be coming soon.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah. you're not going to like how much it is.
It all adds up. That's our mentality.
Yeah,
that's
right. Yeah.
No donation too small in this church.
truly.
But I was asking you, I was like, what kind of rabbit hole? I'm guessing you were saying, well, let's talk about it on the show. What's in your shirt? What's going on in there?
Well, so yeah, we cover a lot of conspiracy theories and moral panics, but eventually we kind of have moved into sort of a bigger picture of like how American narratives and how sort of our national mythologies come to be, whether that be political or like pop culture. And so we're doing a lot more pop culture. And so right now, I'm focusing on trash talk shows. So, you know, Jerry Springer, Geraldo, sort of the classic fist fight stuff that people really, there was like a big outcry about.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I went in just being like, oh, these are such great vehicles of hysteria. That's what our season's about. Because they spread moral panics. You know, I mean, Geraldo had his satanic panic special. But, you know, I figured I'd already talked about all that stuff in different ways. So I started reading these academic texts, which I love to do, about, you know, trash talk shows and their cultural value. And I just found so much about visibility in talk shows and about how, you know, people who were gender nonconforming, for example, had no venue. And even though they were ridiculed on these shows, it was the one place where someone was letting them speak for themselves.
Right.
And so it's just like all about how activists would sneak in their messages and they would actually train each other to go on talk shows to say, okay, you're going to get made fun of. People are going to, you know, whoop and yell and be really mean to you, but you're going to have this like 15 seconds where you can say your piece, and they would get a bunch of letters after. But the problem was is that white supremacists also did that. I don't know if you guys remember the fist fight of Geraldo fame of, you know, Roy Innes, the black activist, and the skinhead dude. So it's just this. And then they would get their message, their moment, and they trained each other about how to be on talk shows. So it's just this like so much richer than just being like, ooh, it's like a mother-daughter dominatrix team.
Right.
You know? Yeah. So it's just, I don't know. I always find a lot more than I think. You know, it always has a lot of value that I didn't at all expect. So that's been my big rabbit hole. And, you know, there's so much about class, and it is a rabbit hole, but you guys can listen to that episode. So
I definitely will. Cause baby. I feel like it almost when you're young and you watch shows like that, it almost sets your expectation for where society is in terms of a given issue. It's like, wait, someone is having sex with their stepdaughter, but they're not related. Boo.
Yeah.
Like, right. Okay, that's boo. And right. Then you're like, oh, a trans person, like maybe being on the low, and then the deception. Back then, it's like you were trained to be like, that's deception.
Yeah.
What the fuck? Because that was like the thing. And I think it's a really, underrated way of, even if you're like, oh, these people, this is bullshit. But it has this effect of like the spectacle of it all and being like, that's the reaction the mass group is having to this thing.
It's just pure uncut judgment. It's like the actual physical embodiment of like public opinion, right?
But think about it as like a Twitter thread, right?
Everybody's
coming on and like basically getting in verbal fist fights. But it's like this horrible and wonderful democratic thing, right? But it's so complicated because you don't know
is that what is
too dangerous, but we want to protect free speech. And it's just this like total... For me, it's just a talk show now, but it's a global, all no holds barred talk show that like spills into the streets now when, you know, people are getting in like Antifa, Trump supporter fist fights.
We made like Twitter of a talk show. How much that would ease people up to be like, I just watched the talk show version where the white supremacist is going to go with the, anti-capitalist, whatever the fuck.
Yeah.
And just kind of watch that and be like, huh.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a way to do it too.
Yeah, but so, I mean, what if we saw each other's faces again too? You know, like that's like a very human thing to miss when you're talking to someone, your facial expressions and
budding ethno-nationalists are like, that guy's not that cool looking actually.
Yeah, he's kind of a dink. Yeah,
yeah, like the Captain America with like red laser eyes avatar is way cooler than this whatever I'm witnessing. I know. Okay,
Edgelord tweets. Yeah,
yeah. Maybe I'll go back to my reading group.
Chelsea, how does that all tie back to Disney villains?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God, right? Well, that's our next episode is called Disneyfication. So how we've kind of cartoonized our culture and ourselves. And infantilization is a big theme of, you know, childhood being a really new thing that really didn't exist like as a period of time until after child labor laws were passed. And that's like the 20s and 30s. And you get this like the child becomes precious. You know, you get stuffed animals instead of, we make soft all of these hard things. So that's kind of what that is. And then, of course, the sort of revisionist history is another part of it and softening our history of, you know, genocide, slavery, whatever you want. You know, all of it is kind of there in Disney, but it's just like made into like a stuffed animal version. Then the Disney villains is mostly, that's a fun one because if you go back and you think about all of the Disney villains, they're either very effeminate or they're very like drag queeny, Ursula is their eyebrows are always on point. Dude, oh baby, yeah. And I mean, like Ursula is based on Divine. So, like literally, period.
Very
and,
you
way,
know,
yeah.
Yeah. I'm like, right. Oh, yep.
Isn't that so? Yeah. It's like, oh, duh. Right. And so there's just like this thread. And, you know, the lyricist Jafar is, I don't know, but he's just, you know, he's
yeah,
just
Jafar
very
is,
like,
he's
yeah.
giving me something.
Yeah.
And I was like, gay vibes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's like very gay. And I mean, Scar, right?
Yes.
He's
Scar
just a super, super homo. And I mean, I think of Gaston. He's my personal favorite Disney character. So that's problematic. But, yeah, you know, it's just he's just like throwing himself back on the chair and showing his, you know, I use antlers in all of my decorating. And so just sort of like, what's that about too? Like the effeminate. Because that's also a theme in horror, right? Is like the cross-dressing, you know, Ed Gein-inspired psycho villain. So it's just, I'm just like, what we do is we just go in every direction possible. And then I find like the root and then we chisel it all down. So right now, gay Disney villains is my
jam.
It's
where you're at.
It's where I'm at, baby. Yeah.
In the chiseling. What is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Well, okay, this is from yesterday, and I don't have a TV anymore. I moved. I, like, downsized a lot. I don't have cable. I get a lot of my news from the internet, but yesterday I was like tired of Twitter and I found myself just Googling news. And it was like, I just felt really silly because I was
the word news?
Yeah, the word news. And I was like,
yeah.
I'm dumb. Like,
does that work?
Okay, I opened my Google app on my phone and I was like, news. And I was
Jack's literally Googling news.
I'm
right
Googling
now.
News right now.
I mean, it just comes up as news. And there are tabs on Google where you could like, anything you Google, there's a news tab. So news. And I was like, oh.
Oh, what's the news on the news?
I don't know. It was kind of funny, though, because like I feel like as every Wednesday, which is yesterday for us, it was just so many things that kept coming in. And I was just tired of like getting inundated by tweets. And I mean, some of them were funny because in dark, traumatic times, people try to make light of things and it does help. But yeah, that was my Google search thing. It was just news. And I realized at that moment that I'm like, oh, my brain has become mush. Like, I have nothing else to offer other than just,
was it that like muscle memory thing? Because I do that sometimes where like, I'll just open, like I'm bored and I open a tab and then I'm just like trying to type anything.
Yeah, and I was just like, how do I get informed? News.
Right.
And then I was just like,
news?
I felt so dumb. I didn't realize it until after it had populated. I wasn't like, what did I just
what
Google?
Have I
like
done?
News? Like, I don't know.
What have I become?
Anyway, that was a really great moment for my brain yesterday. So
I'm getting a nice broad cross section of news about the Washington D.C. riot, about Elaine Chao resigning. About the Supreme Court, you know, Breyer is in the retirement spotlight after Democratic wins, and the Georgia Bulldogs get big news with the return of NG Jordan Davis.
All right.
So, hey, football fans,
there's a little salve for your wounds down there, Republicans in Georgia.
All right, let's take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season one, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season one, like my producer, Anna.
Oh, my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And, of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Where should we start?
Yeah, I obviously agree with everything that was said. It's just...
Shiryu's like, where do I start? I mean, where you got it all start? Awful.
No, but I mean, it is, I think I'm getting really frustrated with, like, I mean, I don't know, Democrats are basically just all the same at this point, and making excuses for, or like, applauding Republicans that are finally condemning something that they should have condemned years ago really doesn't sit right with me. And I also just think, like, all these people, they're terrorizing a country that they still have the most privilege in, and that they'll always have the most privilege in, because it was founded on their ideals. And they know that. They know that the whiteness of their skin comes with a power and protection from this country, and they wield it violently. And it's just so disturbing, because it's... They went to the Capitol knowing that they wouldn't die. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, obviously there have been deaths, but right.
And then when shots were fired, they were so confused.
Yeah, exactly. And that comes with whiteness. And it's just a terrifying display of wielding power and refusing to let it go, despite having the most privilege out of everyone in the country. It's like, I don't understand where the sense of injustice comes from.
It comes from Georgia, you know?
Yeah.
That happening was the last stop. That told them the lights are out for y'all now. The lights have gone out. The House, the Senate, and the White House are completely out of your hands now.
Yeah.
And, I mean, if you look at that, Georgia specifically, right? Just these southern states, most people are like, I'll give up on these places. They're not. They're everybody's backwards. They're racist, even though there are plenty of people of color and they're diverse minds down in the South. But it's all about minority rule. And like we were saying on the day the results of the Georgia Senate race came in, it's that all the people were saying it's not that it's conservative stronghold. They've been suppressing the fuck out the vote in this place for fucking ever, to the point most people don't even bother. That's
exactly
the problem.
What I was. Yeah, there was a tweet that I really loved from Midwin Charles. They said, "Now do you understand why Republicans suppress black votes? I hereby declare that the southern states are not red; they are suppressed."
Yes,
and that's exactly right. Like, that's these red states that even I, as a voter, I'm just like, they're going to be red. You know what I mean? Like, that's the Trump land.
But this
or
thing,
whatever.
Right? For people who always could go to bed as conservatives, because they know it's minority rule. They know, they look at the that's why they're angry. They're demographically, numerically, they're quantifiably outnumbered in disposition, philosophy, and physical numbers. Mm-hmm. And that minority rule really is seen in the fact that Georgia went blue.
Yeah.
And that means, holy, shit's not going to start going red.
Yeah.
Because they're playing a losing hand with white supremacy. So the only option they had was to fucking gerrymander the fuck out of these places, keep people from voting. It's the only fucking way. And now that that's slipping, they're really seeing, well, fuck, now all I do have is my anger, because right now minority rule is even a threat. Like, even the thing that we use to keep people oppressed is starting to fade away. And that's also causing a panic in these people, because that's another indicator to them that their privilege, their power is beginning to wane. And it's, I mean, look at the fucking people that were vibing out in the hotel lobby last night after going to the Capitol and breaking shit and doing all this other shit. It was like, middle class, wealthy people.
Yeah. It was like the whole day was like this, like, field trip, like an eighth grade field trip. And then they're just like relaxing afterwards.
It looked like South by. Like, yeah,
exactly.
Like broke ass South by. Like,
I mean, at the same time, they're getting encouragement from congresswomen, like officials. Like, Mary Miller, is that her name? She said, Hitler got one thing right. Like, she literally quoted Hitler making a speech. Like, that is appalling. Like, I mean, not surprising, but I mean, the fact that, like, the quiet things that should be, like, are, like supporting white supremacy, that's just, like, out in the open now. And that's just, like, she's still an elected official. She's still able to do that. Like, that should be grounds for, like, I just...
Expulsion. Everything.
Yeah.
All of them.
Nazis will be Nazis, like you said. I don't know if we were recording when you said that, but you're right.
That's,
it's like,
our
boys
attitude.
Will be boys, Nazis will be Nazis. We just have to live with it. And it's like,
We don't deal with anything that way. We don't deal with patriarchy. Patriarchy is boys will be boys, even if they are assaulting people left and right, and there's no way to stop it. Rather, we will do nothing to try and address this issue or have a reckoning with it. Oh, you know, white supremacists just going to white supremacy. I mean, what can you do? And cut to this scene. That's what happens when you shrug off this shit.
Yeah.
Because man, this is why I get so pissed off, right? In the summer, I'm fucking begging people, you know, white people, you have to start checking these white people. Because when you don't, they think this shit is all good. And look at them. They were confused when law enforcement tried to enforce some kind of law.
Mm-hmm.
That's how runaway this thinking has gone.
Yeah.
But if you don't have people out here saying, no, fuck that. No, we can't do that. This is not happening. Then it just gets worse and worse. And we have people in positions of power being like, you know, Nancy Pelosi trying to act like we're just going to turn the page hours after people came through her office and stomped shit. What the fuck are you talking about? That just shows you the level of insulation these people have from all of this. And the fact that it took them, you know, a mob at their fucking doorstep to wake the fuck up and start out loud being like, should we remove the president? It's like, where the fuck have y'all been?
Yeah.
Y'all could have done that after Charlottesville.
Yeah.
But no. And it grew and it grows and it grows and it grows and will not stop growing until you fucking have a reckoning with this shit.
Yeah.
And it's just fucked up, man, because then it was shitty then to see, like, the people of color cleaning up the fucking aftermath in the Capitol, adding insult to injury. I'm like, this whole thing is so fucking poisonous.
Yeah.
But we still have people on TV acting like, I don't know, what could we have done or whatever. You can start calling this shit out.
Yeah.
You know, and start treating this shit as serious.
At the very least, like, call it out and don't let it just, like, fade away. Like, it's going to keep festering. It's like an infected wound, and it's just going to keep festering until we actually do something about it. The whole country is like that. The whole country is a stupid infested wound, and we're just like, I don't know. It's just,
well,
I,
we never ridded ourselves of these tumors centuries ago.
Yeah,
but it is in every cell. Like, that's the thing that pissed me off so much about Joe Biden saying that this isn't America. This is the fucking DNA of America. This is everything about America. Reality in America tilts in the direction of white supremacy. If there was any other cause besides explicit white supremacy, which is what this was, the fact that there were two pipe bombs found in D.C. yesterday, the fact that these motherfuckers went in to the halls of Congress with zip ties and guns. Like, they were planning, and today the New York Times and the fucking Washington Post are saying that this isn't a coup, and, like, they're questioning, they're having fucking semantic arguments about whether this is a coup. Well, like, what the fuck else do you need to know? What, like, this would be
because they didn't do it.
Right.
They didn't pull it off. It's like, okay, so it's not till the fucking noose is around your neck and you're on the gallows and you're like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
I think it was a coup, y'all.
Yeah. It's.
But that's how this country moves.
Yeah.
You
Again,
have to fuck.
Founded in white supremacy, it's going to uphold them forever. And yeah, like, Jack is right. Like, this is America. Like, this shouldn't be a surprise. Like, this is exactly where we're headed. It's exactly how we started. Like, this is exactly who we are. Not we, like, you know, America, yeah, this is exactly what it is. And it's always been this way. This is just the first time we've seen it implode in such a fashion. Like, if there wasn't, like, social media or cameras around or whatever, like, we probably wouldn't get all the coverage that we got, you know what I mean? But in this part of our, like, human history, this is what we're dealing with. And this is just the iteration of this version of America there's just like a different mutation of the same thing. It's just a different mutation of the same tumor.
Let's talk about vaccine fuckery real quick. So JM, our writer, did a deep dive into just kind of what is being put out there in the conspiracy corners. It's a lot of it goes back to Bill Gates, who apparently cracked this amazing new technology where you can put microchips inside people in just tiny little shots.
And you wouldn't feel it just rip your veins up as it flies through.
He couldn't figure out Windows Vista, but he has figured out how to put little microchips in you that allegedly will talk to you. They have like volume controls and treble and bass controls.
I wonder if you could ask an anti-vaxxer who's on this microchip shit. I'm like, have you ever passed a kidney stone? You know what I mean? Have you ever passed a kidney stone? Do you know that sensation of something? You're like, I think this thing is ripping my body up from the inside. And it comes out and you're like, what the fuck? It was that big? And that just goes, and you think they're putting motherfucking microchips in you and you wouldn't know that shit? Or just, I can't. I just want to walk people down the path. But, you know, it is what it is. Experts all in the name of denying white supremacy, essentially.
Exactly. Experts are pointing out that, A, the technology doesn't exist, and B, anyone who owns a cell phone's already being tracked. So no, absolutely no need to do any of that. But you know, they also think the microchip contains the mark of the beast. There was that video on TikTok that was viewed like a million times. And right now, COVID-19 5G chip diagram is going viral. It's a diagram of an actual microchip, and people are claiming it's the one that's being put into people's body. It's actually for the Bose Metal Zone MT2 guitar pedal is where they pulled this from.
Boss. Yeah. Shout out to Boss Pedals, to all my Boss. Be it like you're the boss. You know,
oh,
pay the
right,
boss,
right,
not
Bose.
Bose, you know.
Has anyone ever explained why Bill Gates would want to track, let's just say, random Bartholomew in Kentucky?
Sick. Like he's sick and he wants to jack off to know where you're at.
I
he's a sick fuck.
Just jacking off to your location.
He's jacking off to it. I'm trying to think how you would get someone mad, right? How would you get a stupid person mad about Bill Gates knowing where you are? You'd be like, because let's do a quick scene. Hey, you know, so they get what he wants to do is put a microchip in you so he can track you. Okay.
But what? So okay, what does he want to do? Why do
See,
I care?
Dude, if he knows where you are, he can control you, okay? He's going to jack off to knowing where you are. That's what I meant to say. He will jack off knowing where you are, Jack, okay? That's what's sick, and that's what we have to stop is Bill Gates getting off to knowing where we are. I don't know how else to game it out to make it be like, I don't know, okay.
Well, first of all, my phone already tells a lot of people where I am if they wanted to know.
Yeah,
and
we need to worry about Tim Cook.
My OnlyFans, which I control through my phone, allows people to jack off to my location. So
I got to be honest with you, while it's never quite been my kink, part of me would be kind of flattered if Bill Gates wanted to jack off to
Hell
my
yeah.
location.
Yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Like, I would be like, not for free, Bill Gates. You will not know my latitudinal and longitudinal coordinates without into J-O to that without a little check, honey.
Yeah.
I mean, what the I don't know. I mean, because I guess the end game is, right, because the other thing is, like, with the volume control could fry out your immune system and, like, be a kill switch on someone's body, or, like, the bass and treble thing. It's like, these are such clear audio terms that was, like, to help, you know, the power of the chip and what messages they could get to you. So, okay, in this world where a microchip where Bill Gates can talk to you or kill switch you at a moment's notice, like some fucked up Thanos, what is the next step? Then he puts everybody on drone mode, and then what? He makes everybody have sex so he could watch them have sex and laugh?
Yeah.
That's what really I'm thinking. That's my worst fear.
We've created a version of Bill Gates that's really into watching. He's like a real voyeur. Where he just wants to watch people fuck. He doesn't want them to fuck him. He just wants to watch them.
Right. I mean, and again, this whole, like, even the tweet that had this fucking schematic was all born out of these people saying, like, oh, Russia pulled the chip out and they've got a diagram. Like, the language around it didn't even make sense. Like, what do you mean? They're saying the Russians, quote, the Russians have managed to remove the nano chips from the Pfizer vaccine and have published a function diagram. Okay, This is called a schematic, I believe.
Sounds smart, though.
But then how do smart people look at this shit and go, man, this ain't it?
They don't.
But I still fuck with the idea. You know what I mean? Like, there's got to be an engineer who looks at that and goes, this has nothing to do with anything. But I'm damn sure not going to say Black Lives Matter, so I'm going to be on this COVID, this pandemic shit. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, you hate to see it. That's right. But I mean, I guess, again, you'll twist your brain in any manner of ways to just maintain your worldview and, like, the control over that worldview. So, yeah, even if you are looking at a straight up boss fucking heavy metal guitar pedal, you're going to act like the Russians are trying to keep everybody safe from Bill Gates's, you know, propensity of, I don't know what I'm jacking
you, on. You guys have discussed it on the show. The reality is this: when you have folks that are on their deathbed with a ventilator, dying of COVID, saying no with their last death rattle, no, it's not true. I mean, how can you have that conversation?
Pandemic.
You
know? Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can't anymore. Could you imagine someone on their deathbed? They're like, nice try. I'm not gonna fall.
There was a dude in Michigan who was a COVID denier. Then he eventually, as it was killing him with his dying breath, admitted that COVID existed, but was still like Trump 2020. So
motherfucker
didn't get all the way through.
See, I mean, I know it's everywhere, and by everywhere, I'm not talking about COVID. I just mean like everything we've got going on. But growing up in Southern California and then moving to the desert, I live in Tucson now. Mm-hmm. The level of discourse or just like the conversations that take place make me truly realize we are not the normal. Like, that they are the normal. It apparently that is the case, because I couldn't even come up with it, you know, from a story perspective, some of the things that are said to me.
I think it's in everything coupled with the chaos that the pandemic has caused. It just makes it just the perfect fertile soil for shit like that, for shit like this to take, because it's unlike anything we've experienced, right? To be like, what the fuck? We're shutting everything down. Man, that just creates a whole, people have too much time and too much internet to not get to the bottom of why everything is so shitty right now. And until they find, like, some people have found the satisfying answer in just observing the government and how capitalism moves through this country and how the decisions are being made. And others prefer this other thing, because that other shit is just too, it's, I don't know, for whatever reason, it's a sexier version or one that just makes them feel more in control. But yeah, it's tough. It's tough.
Yeah.
So, Ilaria Baldwin, let's just play this clip of her talking. We'll start it off just like some examples of her talking in her Spanish accent.
Okay, so
authentic.
I didn't, just full disclosure, I did the thing where I removed myself from the internet for 2 weeks.
Smart.
That's because, you know, 50 weeks out of the year, we're mainlining this shit straight through our eyeballs and ears and everything. So I found out, like, only a couple weeks ago, or no, a couple days ago, about what had transpired. So the gist is that Alec Baldwin's wife, right?
Yes, mother Hilaria, of his children,
is actually not Spanish, although she's been out here being like, I'm from Spain.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, so, and I'm like, and her real name is Hillary, correct? That's the whole gag.
She used to go by Hillary. So there's some aspects where if you wanted to give her the benefit of the doubt, you could see where it's like she went by Hillary when she lived in Boston, which I don't know. It, like, you have to be pretty flexible to bend over far enough to give her the benefit of the doubt, but like right. there's... You know, like her explanation for that is, yeah, when I was in America, I went by Hillary. And when I was with my Spanish family, I went by Hilaria.
Oh, and when I was in Ghana, I was Kwame. You know what I mean? At least I could do that. I'm black, but there, yeah, I get it. When you go to a place right. like, because in Ghana, like the day of the week you're born is like your nickname. So I was, nice. I was Saturday, I'm Kwame. And I was like, oh shit, okay. But I didn't come back on some. Whatever the fuck. It's funny when people try and thread the needle, the appropriation needle like this.
Right.
It's
right.
a needle you can't thread. If the needle says appropriation, don't thread it. Because yeah. when you do, you're engaging in it. So I guess this is a supercut, Jack, you found, cause six times her dubious accent has gone wrong on camera.
Yes.
How's married life?
Married life is really nice. You know, it feels different. It really feels different. But I didn't think it was going to be different, but it feels quite different.
What's the thing that surprised you the most?
I think just the fact that it feels different. You know, we like to say husband and wife a lot.
Yeah.
I call him husband now. I say, husband, where are you? Well, he took me out to Montauk. He said that was as close as he could get to Spain, to my family, and to Rome, because we really like Rome as well. And, he got down on his knee, and then I don't remember the rest because I started crying.
Ooh. Then we went to Montauk because he wanted to say that it was like Mallorca and to remind me of my family in right. Spain. And that was just so chill the way he did that. It was so actually like really, really thoughtful of him.
I mean, that's one thing is that it doesn't seem like she's trying to hide the fact that she's going back and forth between.
This is sloppy.
It is sloppy, but listen to this next one. This next one is really.
Oh, this is even okay. Like, they're yeah. yeah. Okay.
We have very few ingredients. We have tomatoes. We have how do you say it? Cucumbers.
It's not easy, and I think
how you say in English.
Oof.
Cucumbers.
Hey, come on, Pepino, mamita. Come on. We got to know these things if we're gonna scam. Get the fucking vocab right. Do we go further? Do they get better?
No, it's fine. The rest of it is more people being like, and this is how she actually talks, which you kind of heard at the end of the story of she and Alec getting engaged, which is just, you
is
know.
Any of her, is she a descendant of any person who is a Spaniard?
So her, she's like, my family is lots of
Jack,
different
you're sounding like her now. Yes or no?
She says Rachel, her family's Rachel lots Dolezal. Of different things.
It's a yes or no.
She also, she does have relatives who live there, but she claims
Jack,
she was born in Spain
so
and
weird.
She's not from Spain. She was not. She was born in Boston.
Oh my God.
Not in Boston
I don't know.
Of
so
all
the
places.
Thing, I'd knee-jerk get, I have a like a little bit more hesitancy when it comes to like, I don't know, because we work in podcasting and we see like women's voices get policed so much. I like have like a knee jerk, you know, the way that a woman guest or, you know, whatever it is, will get like negative feedback on vocal fry. And like I speak in nothing but vocal fry, but it's like a woman will get called out for that like that. I don't know. Like that.
You're,
that
you were
just
trying to make
me...
sure you were applying a fucked up patriarchal double standard or something to Hilaria
right.
Baldwin.
Yeah, I think
I mean,
that's right.
Just I'm looking at this straight up as accent work. Okay?
Yeah,
if people
absolutely.
Listen to this show, I like accents.
Yeah,
I like.
Absolutely.
I have an ear for accents. I like to pick them apart. You know, if I was going to speak like somebody from Spain, you know, speaking like this in the back of my throat more. But because I have that experience talking to people like, I don't know, hearing
wow.
this, and that's shitty, and that's offensive too. But all that to say is, looking at it like this, it just, it grinds my gears.
Yeah.
That you are completely jettisoning who you are as a person in exchange for whatever fuckery this is. Because it's not that interesting. And all it's proven, Ilaria, is that you managed to, you know, scheme or convince Alec Baldwin that you're from Spain. That's not really a feat. In my eyes. So maybe, does he care anymore? Like, does he know? What does Alec know?
That is my question. That, I think, is the most interesting question. Is
that's between them.
How she spoke to her husband, because you notice that the accent was stronger at the beginning of the relationship, and then it starts to fade a little bit, and she's not really doing it as much anymore. If that was something that he noticed, and like what was going on in his head when that was happening.
Right.
But yeah, it's I agree, as somebody you know, I like, you would pull this off 1,000 times better than her.
Yeah, I just like that, like, if it did slip and Alec Baldwin just so unaware and not observant at all, like, where it was it's like it was there the whole time, like a supercut of all these moments, like, bro, you're not gonna finish your Sam Adams, bro? All right, pal. And it's like, what, Eladia? Yeah, I'm sorry, I fed amor, your cerveza estrella is half finished. Please party on harder. Like, I don't know. I don't know. Bless the attempted scam of Eladia.
Yeah. I mean, attempted.
Keeps us entertained.
Yeah.
I just like the audacity, though. It's just truly, man.
Yep.
I guess, was it her thing? I don't know if this is a thing of how someone who is so unhappy with just being, you know, a white American person, like,
yes,
that you're going like, fuck, what's the most adjacent thing I could be, believably? I'll dye my hair black or darker than it is, and I'm like, do like a Catherine Zeta-Jones, like Penelope Cruz thing, and I don't know. I mean, part of me, like, you know, I feel for that, because there's like people you go to school with who, like, you're like, oh, you changed your name. You did the whole thing. Like, you became this whole other person.
Yeah.
And I get that on one level, you know, like, we are all evolving as people, but not to the point of saying, like, you know, it's one thing, like, you're straight-laced and now you're into, like, punk rock or whatever, versus, right, like, I'm white Hillary from Boston, and now I'm Ilaria because I went to Spain once.
Yes. And you... There are definitely people I knew who went abroad for a year or a semester and came back with new personalities and, you know.
Right.
But Lindsay Lohan, you guys, like,
oh, my
osmosis.
God.
Like, that is some deep shit.
Remember
right
that IG
there?
Live when she was trying to save that family?
Yes.
Tell the people of America what you want. Like, okay, Lindsay Lohan.
We want you to leave us alone.
Yeah. And like, that goes to say, like, what is up with like her personal life? Like, you're saying, like, there's got to be other, and I don't mean Lindsay Lohan, going back to Eladia or whatever. You know, like, there's got to be other stuff. Like, that's a symptom of a bigger problem. So I just wonder, like, what other, how this affects other parts of her, or what, you know, what breeds this impetus, right, to do this.
I just thought it was fun. Just like, you know, yeah, kind of got, like, carried away. I don't know. Yeah. You never just lose yourself in an accent and you know, assumed identity.
And then just do it for 6 years.
And then do it for the entirety of your adult life.
Never do that and, like, scam people out of their organs and stuff? No?
Right.
I don't know. I just got carried away.
Nobody does. Oh, come on.
There's definitely some subterfuge going on with regards to, like, she claims that she moved to America when she was 19 to go to NYU, and, like, she grew up, and people are like, dude, I went to high school with her. Her name was Hillary. She was just a girl from, you know, Massachusetts, from Cambridge.
Wow. I don't know.
Shout out to her.
I always, these stories are just so funny to me, because you know, because when it all falls down, you're just left with this, like, just going through, you're like, and why did you think this was working?
Yeah. We're doing next season, I think we're going to do personality hoaxes. So each episode's going to be somebody who, like, and how that's how single people and stories can change the entire culture with bullshit. You know, I mean, that was the Satanic Panic was, you know, fueled by, like, Michelle Remembers in these fake memoirs that then affected everything. I mean, so I'm really excited about that. But this is, like, a mild version of somebody creating, like, there are some crazy stories that go, like, way back in time, too.
You know what would have been easier? If she just said she was Eladia Baldwin, but she's like, nah, I grew up here.
Yeah.
But, you know, I still, you know, I feel Spain in my heart. That's why I vibe like this. Yeah, and nobody would have asked anything.
Yeah, no. Exactly.
No.
That's the truth would have made her free, but she, like, that's how you can tell there's more there. Like you were saying, Chelsea, that there's like a core of, you know, dysfunction of some sort.
Well, it's an issue.
It's a rejection of your family, because at that point you're no longer the person that your parents named you to be. So therefore it's a rejection of that. Is it of, I mean, maybe this is a whole, a line of study, a whole discipline can be born out of Hilaria Baldwin. Yeah.
I mean, we've talked about Ariana Grande having grown up as Ariana Grande, like that. That was how her last name was pronounced.
Yeah, at least that's like a
Italian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's just letting other people fill in the dots with her darker complexion to be like, I don't know, maybe I'm not going to say anything.
I don't know.
And I'm just going to tightrope walk it up here.
Yeah. Let's take another quick break. We'll be right back.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher. I'm so excited to tell you about the brand new series of The Girlfriends. In season one, we told you about the murder of Gail Katz at the hands of my ex-boyfriend, Bob. At one point, a woman's torso washed up on Staten Island and was misidentified as Gail. She spent 9 years in Gail's grave, and then she just disappeared.
It's almost like it's become this moral obligation to find her.
And that's what we're going to do. Find this missing girlfriend and tell her story. With the help of some of your favorite girlfriends from season one, like my producer, Anna.
Oh my God.
My friend, Dr. Mindy Shapiro.
Hi, it's Dr. Shapiro, and I'd like to speak with the deputy medical examiner.
And of course, Gail's sister, Elaine Katz.
Having no closure, it kills you.
Join us as we try to solve a 35-year-old cold case. It's not going to be easy, but it's going to be one hell of a ride.
What?
I can't believe this.
Listen to season 2 of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Pizza Hut is it is the 25th anniversary of the stuffed crust pizza being introduced in 1995. Oh, yeah. It's actually the 26th, but they decided to put the brakes on the celebration that we had all been waiting for. It's kind of the 25th anniversary of the stuffed crust pizza is sort of the Olympics for us. And you can always delay it a year. It's no big deal.
Right, right.
And the way they're celebrating is by claiming that people have been asking for just the crust without the pizza part. And so they've released what is essentially a very skinny bagel with cheese inside of it, aka nothing but stuffed crust. No pizza. And they're like, see, you know, people have been, since we introduced it, people have been asking for it. And that's not true, obviously.
Right.
First of all, get this pizza off my pizza.
You're a herb if you buy that shit. Do not pay money for this stuff. Just get you the one that has the pizza and you have a better deal.
Yes.
You have more food. Also, they could have easily made that in stick form and just put more in the box.
Right.
Yeah, right, right, right. Yeah.
It is the biggest waste of box I've ever seen. It's just an empty box with a little crust around the edge.
I don't want to see anybody talk shit about Little Caesars after this. They've done nothing but like
make hits.
Be a pizza for the people.
Yeah.
And at least when they up the game, like they do it in ways that appeals to stoners, you know, or like, okay, Little Caesars, I see you. Where Pizza Hut, sometimes I'm like, okay, you're doing a lot over there. You're just like a big stunt queen. And I like the OG factor of Pan Loco at Little Caesars.
Yeah. Pizza Hut is when you take the idea of like the sort of philosophy that that Yum Brands brings to Taco Bell and be like, okay, how do we reinvent this? It's like, yo, just make good pizza. Like, you have one product. You have one job. Stop fucking around. Just make good. Make the pizza that you make as Pizza Hut better. Right. And we will be on board. Yeah, they're always coming up with. Are you guys, like, where does Pizza Hut fall in your rankings of the big four with Domino's, Papa John's, Little Caesars?
Papa John's is not part of the, no, it's like the, it's like Russia. Yeah. They're not in the G8 anymore or the G20 or whatever. You're out. I'm sorry. I don't know
some
you.
Some people like their pizza to taste
That's fine.
It has melted
and
Skittles
that's
on
fine.
It.
And we talked about this before. I don't have a problem with people different opinions. That's fine. Do you?
Yeah.
I'm just saying I'm not going to eat that shit because I don't it. I like, what's funny is Pizza Hut Pan Pizza is the greasiest shit ever and I love the fuck out of it. But Domino's
personal pan or the big pan,
whatever. Pan as long as it's pan, as long as they got that grease bottom, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But with Domino's, we've talked about this before. They've been in the lab. They got the crust right, and I want to eat the whole pizza. But there's something about just like butter slice of Pizza Hut pizza that is still very comforting to me when it comes to that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I've actually learned that you can butter your pieces of Domino's pizza and you get the best of both worlds.
Totally have done that.
Oh, shit. Wow.
So reheating pizza in a pan is actually...
right.
Your thing. We've talked before about a good way to reheat pizza. And there's nothing wrong with butter in that pan before you reheat it. I'm just saying. Give
you
it
put
a little
it in a
bit
cast
of
iron,
butter.
You got a good crispy butter bottom.
Mm. Anyways, I've never really fucked with Pizza Hut. Like from when I was a kid, I've always been a Domino's boy, and I think they've gotten better and better.
They have more customization options. Like Domino's, I feel like spent so long apologizing to us for bad pizza.
Right.
They gave us everything they wanted. Domino's has apologized for like bad pizza more than most people have for like, you know, like hate crimes or treason.
Right.
Like,
yeah. Or like bad jokes on Twitter.
Yeah, they like put whole campaigns into like, sorry, our pizza sucked. Here's more customization options. Here's heated ovens in the vans as we like transport it to you. So it's like super hot when it still gets to you. I love that Pizza Hut personal pizza. Little Caesars is like my tippy top because that's just my like, I'm tired and I got a $5 pizza and everyone's happy.
Yeah.
I am real sad that Pizza Hut brought back the Pizzones and they suck now.
Oh, really?
They did? Oh, man.
They used to be great, but now they taste like weird, soft, like pizza donuts, and like they're like too sweet. And it's, I don't know. They're just, I miss the OG Pizzone.
Yeah.
Right.
No, that's totally fair.
We also miss the Final Four promotional basketballs that Pizza Hut used to give out for free.
Yeah.
A large pizza.
Oh, man. That is.
Remember those basketballs, boy?
Those things were so dope.
Look, you young kids don't know about those shitty street. Well, no, they were like, they were regulation size. They got smaller, I think, after 93.
Yeah.
Okay. We had full size basketballs because that's what you would, I remember at school, we would bring that shit to school to play on like our recess court and be like, oh, we got the new Pizza Hut ball.
One thing that our writer Jan was pointing out is that Pizza Hut actually saved. So the stuffed crust pizza was a flop at first. And then they put out a $45 million ad campaign that hinged around a spot in which Donald Trump and Ivana Trump, who were in the middle of a public divorce, pretended like they were about to fuck, only to reveal that they were actually talking about eating a stuffed crust pizza.
How?
Crust first. I vaguely remember this. There is a video clip in the doc, but I won't.
She's like, Donald, you're going to eat from the back?
You're
take it from behind.
He's like, I don't give a fuck about the crust. I'm still in there, even the cheese. And you're like, oh shit. Nasty.
The commercial was shot on a set meant to look like the plaza, but obviously not the real plaza because Trump had lost it to bankruptcy in 92. So even America's been lying about Trump to find a way to believe in this dude since the stuffed crust pizza.
Right.
But that's not the worst thing he's done, probably.
No, not at all.
All right, that's going to do it for this week's Weekly Zeitgeist. Please like and review the show if you like the show. Means the world to Miles. He needs your validation, folks. I hope you're having a great weekend, and I will talk to you Monday. Bye.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hey, girlfriends, it's me, Carol Fisher, back with another season of the global number one podcast, The Girlfriends. Last time, we investigated the murder of Gail Katz. This time, we're uncovering the identity of the woman who was buried in Gail's grave for a decade before she disappeared. Join me and the rest of the club as we tell her story. Listen to season two of The Girlfriends, Our Lost Sister, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.